You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And I have the hugest treat for you today. We have some of the most brilliant clinical minds on today. We've got the Coyce and the Coachman team live for the first time in a treatment planning session. You do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a few seconds.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this special day, because this is a big one. And I've got some of the greatest clinical minds talking about some of the coolest stuff in all of dentistry. Christian, you and I have had a chance to do quite a few of these. So I'm going to let you lead this and kind of introduce the why and who's behind it and what we're going to be doing today. So take it away, my friend.
Thank you so much. This is really very, very special for us, me and Francis, to be with John and Dean. As I always say, you know, we have a couple of mentors as we grow in our profession. And John was always one of the main ones not only for me, but for all my colleagues here in Brazil. A few years ago, when I actually started to actually be able to connect with John and develop things together and have the huge honor to do the DSD course over there that is actually happening in a couple of weeks, the next version of this course, it's really amazing. Even more amazing when we started to connect all his philosophies, his treatment planning, brain into our technology. So when John mentioned to actually connect these two areas and do a first case together, and that's what we're going to do in Seattle in 2 weeks, we're going to actually plan, design, plan, and perform clinically huge full mouth rehabilitation case. I mentioned to John that we couldn't miss this opportunity, since the communication was so rich during the last few weeks, back and forth, John and Dean giving their feedback and guiding us through the process of where they wanted to be with the treatment and how me and Francis could utilize technology to express their thoughts and design all the guides, design the prosthesis. So I immediately had the idea of sharing this brainstorm session with everybody online. And that's what I want to do here. I want to bring the case back, you know, show where we started from, the initial perspective, have John explain his ideas, and then Francis will follow John's leads and try to guide us through the process of expressing interdisciplinary plan from the 3D digital perspective.
Christian, I just want to say thank you for that introduction, and I really appreciate the comments. And I just wanted to make sure everybody realizes Dean is also the surgeon in this case. And as you're correct, I'm doing the design. I feel like I'm in a unique situation because after all these years, I've been practicing more than 40 years, this kind of case that we're about to show doesn't come around very often because it has so many aspects of so many other things that are very challenging. I also want to add, it's exciting being on the teaching side of this case, but when it comes to the DSD and the digital planning, I'm actually more on the student side. because I'm learning from the DSD folks between Francis and Coachman, Christian Coachman, obviously, the Coachmans. They are pushing us to levels that we've never been at before. And I am so excited to see how the planning phase, to see actually what was only in my mind before, to see it actually in real life. I'm so excited for the audience, you can't imagine.
Super cool. Francis, you want to say something just to introduce yourself? No, I know you're a quiet guy, but...
No, with two guys like you and John, it's complicated to say anything, but...
That's what you're saying? That we talk too much?
Well, you can understand it as you wish. No, I'm kidding. No, the plan, the DSD Planning Center, we are very, very excited to be part of this journey. Well, with Christian, Christian is a part of this, but with John is really, with the Coys is really amazing to really go through this case together, because there's so much to think and decide with the case, and has been a great experience, John, to be discussing this case with you. The planning center here is, everybody's very excited about this opportunity and think it's going to be great.
I have to add one thing, Francis, that I think gets unnoticed. You have a dental background that most people don't realize, because it gets swallowed up by your amazing computer skills. I've never seen anyone be able to use a system like this so thoroughly and so quickly, and to work with somebody that also knows the dental side of it. This is a unique opportunity that I've never experienced before. It's really refreshing to work with someone like you.
Thank you.
And you get overshadowed by the other person in this show, but I got to tell you, you're the power behind this and making this work. And I know Christian knows that, but it's very obvious once you start to work in this system.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much for the words. It's very appreciated to hear this. Thank you.
So,
shall we begin?
We're ready.
Can I share my screen?
Yes, go ahead.
What is the first image you wanted us to share, John?
Just the MIP position of the teeth, if you have that image, before we get to the face.
Yeah, you should guide me through the process, John. Whatever you want to see, just let me know and we open the file and we can navigate.
So, of course, we try to bring this to reality, how this would work, not only for a special moment like this, working with the Coys family, but so the dentist is sending us this information, pictures, SDLs, videos, CBCT. Everything is uploaded on the software, and the magic word that I always mention is overlapping. So the 3D world happens when we overlap these images, so we can digitalize the patient. So now the patient is in 3D. We have the initial situation. We have the bite that the dentist wants us to work. This is overlapped to the face. We have the CBCT. And the first thing that we usually do is to create a patient driven smile design project to start with, regardless where teeth and bone are right now. We generate a facially driven smile design project that is, of course, can be test drived in the face, or the dentist can ask for changes. So it's like having the doctor over the shoulder guiding a diagnostic wax up.
So let me weigh in a little bit about the patient. The patient is a 53-year-old female, and she's past bulimic, or even to some degree, some of it still occurs today. She's extremely phobic about dental appointments and has to be put to sleep for any treatment. It's pretty obvious. You can see the ravages of the destruction of her teeth. And the reality is we're not going to be able to save any of the teeth. And so we've already made the decisions as far as the risk assessment in the periodontal aspects, the biomechanical aspects, the functional aspects, and the dentofacial aspects. And I think where many young dentists get into trouble, if you just looked at the teeth without seeing the teeth in her face, it would be very tempting to lengthen the upper teeth in her face, which would be an aesthetic disaster. It would be moving the entire arch in the wrong direction. So in order to plan this case properly, we had to use the existing incisal edge as the length of the upper arch. Then my task and challenge to Francis was to be able to look at the implant placement based on not lengthening the teeth incisally, doing all the lengthening cervically. In this way, we could reduce the gingival display. We could create normal looking teeth, but the vertical placement of the implants is going to be critical in order to develop that. The other thing I want to say about this case, as people watch it, This is not to be done the way most cases are done, where they flatten all of the alveolar crest. This is going to be done with pontic site development, so there'll be no pink in the final restorations. So I challenged Francis to come up with design elements that could allow us to do pontic site development on the anterior teeth and the implant site development as immediate implants and immediate load that Dean would place when the surgery happens a few weeks from now.
One thing that is very nice on this case in terms of using digital to plan, if you go back to the initial model, Francis, you can see that the ideal design is completely inside the ridge. So it's a very challenging case to design and plan without digital, because it's just impossible to develop a decent diagnostic wax inside the model. So
I think it would have been impossible.
If we delete the model, and that's usually the first step, what we do is always pretend every patient is an edentulous patient. So digitally, it's very easy to just remove the model, create a facial analysis from the frontal perspective, from the cephalometric perspective, and create this ideal denture. Let's pretend, for example, that you are going to save all the teeth, for example. We would start the same way, planning, for example, crown lengthening or ortho intrusion or endodontic treatment, whatever needed to be performed. We would start with the same ideal project and then bring the actual position of the teeth to try to see what can be moved to make this ideal project happen. Of course, that on the moment that you told us that this is full extraction now and that we want to use her own ridge to avoid pink, the challenge is how to plan these ovate pontics with the immediate loading prosthesis and hopefully create decent interproximal papillas as the tissue heals.
Yes, as Francis advances this, we have two things to discuss. One is the pontic site development, and the second is the implant site development. If we're looking at the pontic site development, Francis, if you could go to a cross-section of a pontic in the ridge, so that we could make sure the viewers see that analysis and also show the viewers how you were able to remove the teeth. Maybe if you go through it in the steps, how you're able to remove the teeth so we could actually develop the pontics and accomplish exactly what Christian was just talking about.
Yeah, I can also bring our chat discussion on WhatsApp that we had with the case, which is also very nice to understand how we communicate nowadays. We don't talk. This is something nice to be telling the people nowadays. We don't get on the phone and talk. We pretty much share images and we discuss about those images.
There's so many details here. I think what we usually talk on the course is that treatment planning ideally is one challenge. Now, creating a communication protocol that allows you to treatment plan ideally every single day for every single case, it's another different challenge. And this is what I think it's important to understand, how to create a communication protocol that can happen super fast, that a dentist on a busy day in between patients in few seconds and minutes can actually ask for modifications back and forth. So it's a combination between the 3D software, cloud dentistry, and the WhatsApp group. It's what we call like a concierge service where these images can be shared and the dentist, we can connect with as many dentists we need and start getting the feedback, because as we know, we all have deadlines and things have to happen really fast.
Yeah, I think now the audience is getting a sense of what I was talking about, how Francis was able to remove the teeth from the underlying bone architecture. And now we can plan real pontic sites with real anatomy, not just trying to understand the anatomy and presume it's correct. And so at this point, Francis then used the concepts of pontic site development, and I've been doing it for 30 years, plus 30 years, but I've never seen it done quite like this, where we can actually see the osseous architecture and the soft tissue when we're building the pond. That's it right there. So you can start to see as the dentist exactly what you're doing to take a lot of the stress away. What I'm so excited about here is when we're able to do it, I won't have the typical stress that was normally felt when we would do a procedure so extensive as this would be.
So you can see here, John, you can see in blue the bone, the remaining bone. You can see in green, if Francis, if you keep the same right in the middle of the central.
This is exactly
what we did tooth by tooth. You can plan the remaining buccal plate of the bone. You can see in green the existing teeth that will be extracted, and then you can see in white the new pontic or abutment that will be developed. So you, John, you were able to tooth by tooth give us exactly the thickness, how much concavity you wanted to have inside the alveolus, and how you want to leave the thickness for the bone to be protected and avoid, if possible, extra recession.
Yeah, now we're able to take all the understanding of biology, which has taken over my lifetime, to now visualize the application of that biology in minutes. I've never, ever seen anything like this in my life. And I've been doing this for quite a long time. And to be able to see how we could place the pontics, keep away from the important structures, then use all our knowledge of wound healing, because when this case goes in, the teeth won't actually look the proper length until we get the resorption of the facial plate. And so this is really exciting for us, because I don't think this has ever been done before.
Francis, leave it on the central. Leave it a little bit on the central. Sliced on the central, the vision. Yes, that's
the idea, right there.
Yeah. So measure from the pontic to the bone.
If you guys want to really, I mean, I can go to the software and, okay, so, because I was playing the video that we shared on WhatsApp, and now I have the software. But yeah, the real challenge here was to really design the temp the way John was really idealizing, and with all the digital information that we have. So really nice to see what we can really achieve with digital nowadays, you know.
Put the slice right in the center of the central. Yep, that's it. So we can measure the cervical of the pontic to the buccal side of the bone.
Yes, and leave a space for all the proper wound healing and the changes in the ridge resorption, following ridge resorption.
And we're expecting a lot of migration of all the architecture.
Yes. So you have, and this is the tooth, and we want the bone, white to blue.
Yeah, and the challenge here is really to be able to build a provisional that is passive.
Yes.
Will fit inside the ridge without having to remove any bone, or either be adjusting the provisional a lot to fit passively. So that's what we are doing, really designing the provisional, taking into consideration the bone and the space that John wants to leave between the pontic and the bone.
So let me make sure I orient the listeners to why it's being done this way. It would be impossible for us to hide the interface under this patient's lip with the hyper lip mobility that she displayed.
Bring her face.
She would have to destroy the ridge to hide that interface. By doing this, we won't need to have an interface. We'll have a natural interface where the pontics will look like they're growing out of the bone. That's important. Now, the limitation for that. What's going to happen now is the cervical positions of the teeth will be dictated by the sockets, which would not be the typical case where you were having pink. You could move the teeth wherever you wanted them. We don't have that complete flexibility at this point. At the time of the immediate provisional, the cervical position of the teeth will be dictated again by the sockets more than it would have if we were using the other protocol.
So Francis is now adapting the model to the face just to show exactly what John was saying. That really, you know, typically we would do a white and pink implant prosthesis that simplifies, of course, the whole process, but it's extremely aggressive. If you imagine, I don't know if you can bring the CBCT as well, Francis, to see where we would place the bone if we would have to reshape the bone above the lip line. You would have to cut, I don't know, like 15 millimeters
of bone. It's a lot. It's a lot.
So this is the moment that probably when you saw this, and you realized that biologically speaking, for the benefit of the patient, we would have to use our skills to develop a bridge without pain.
So what would have happened to most dentists, in order to hide the interface, they would have had to make a removable restoration to be able to build a flange that goes under the lip. Yes. A removable restoration, even if it's on a milled bar, would be a disaster. Because we're not going to have a lot of room for all that hardware when this case is finished. And more importantly, since the facial aspect of this ridge is so prominent, trying to fit a flange outside the ridge would be another disaster because it would really disrupt the facial aesthetics.
Yeah. Too much volume.
Way too prominent.
Too prominent, yeah.
So there's a lot of things that the dentist has to think about when we're looking at peri-implant aesthetics, moving from the single tooth relationship to the ridge relationship when it's on these bigger cases. And this case has all of those pieces intertwined so that once we get through this, somebody would really understand all the parameters of the concerns that we have. The next one is going to be the median implant site development and getting the implants deep enough regarding the remaining structures. And as we go to that, we can look at that because I think it will dictate changes in implant length and slight changes in implant position to get around some of the limitations of the architecture.
So here we see the ideal smile design, facially driven smile design with the new ideal cervical margins, with subgingival concavities with the ovate pontics, and of course, retroactively planning the implants towards these pontics. We can see the distances that you guys went through, placing the head of the implant, of course, trying to avoid the sinus. You can see trying to simplify the process, understanding if, you know, sinus lip is an option, yes or no, what length of implant you want to use to simplify the procedure. And of course, Dean and Francis, they have a lot of experience here on the surgical side, picking the right strategy.
I've deferred this to Dean to make some of the decisions on the implant length. And Dean, could you weigh in a few minutes about what your decisions were about shortening the implants regarding concerns of the sinus?
I think one of the things that was unique about the case is since we're moving all the architecture so far apically, that these implants are actually, for the most part, all in virgin bone. They're apical almost to a lot of the extraction sockets. So we didn't need to. And also where the pontics need to reside, the implants would be in the way. So we went with shorter implants also for surgical safety, but also knowing we're going to get really good primary stability because of we're being in virgin bone. And it was a really neat case. These implants, when you look at the plan without the extractions, are quite a bit deeper than you're used to placing. But with the entire plan and where we need to move the facial aesthetics, it all comes together really nicely. It's amazing what Francis has done.
I'm convinced that without this type of surgical planning, the implants would have never been placed deep enough. And this patient would have suffering these problems for the rest of her life because aesthetically, it would turn out to be a disaster.
The other thing with the surgical facilitation is how deep the implants are. And when you go with longer implants, we were actually maxing out drill lengths and our ability to reach the final depth. So it was really a convenience too to move to the shorter lengths with the drills, which can be a concern in the back.
Francis, you're moving too fast with too many things. You have to follow our speech, you know.
I told you he was very fast.
We moved the guide for a while and just click on the less molar on the green implant. There's a nice image of the green implant and on a side view. And then you can see the relationship with the sinus, the green implant. If you click there, I want to see the green implant on the right side of the screen. Yes. I remember you guys struggling through the process of fitting an implant there. And the cervical, you can see the molar is right there. So we don't have much room
right, with
the emergence profile.
Yeah, we have to be deep enough to get the tooth length that we want and not too deep to minimize the concerns with the structures.
Because aesthetically, John, the problem here is that if we don't pay attention here, we can create on the final situation a nice anterior area and gummy smile on the back, bringing the
implant down. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the challenge.
So it's one side aesthetics, the other side the sinus.
I think it's good to tell, of course, that probably Dean and John will not load this posterior area. We're going to be probably working with the more anterior implants, right, John? So
that's correct. We're not going to load the molar implants immediately. We'll just use cantilevered pontics on the terminals of all of the provisionals.
Yeah. So, John, this I would like to go through, if you guys allow me, the guides that the system that we're going to be using. This is, we just finished the guides today, John, so it's new for you and Dean also. What we're going to be doing is that we're going to be placing first a guide that goes over the teeth of the patient, okay? It's a double guide we call the click guide. It's like in two pieces. They go together over the teeth and you drill the pins. Then the guide, the blue one, stays in the mouth, You don't take this guide anymore. The idea is really to avoid having to switch the guides all the time. So this guide is there. You remove the teeth. If, of course, if you need to take out the guide for some reason, you can. Then you can replace it again and just put the pins back. But the idea is to be able to remove the teeth without having to remove this base guide. Okay, so after that, then we go with the implant guide. Okay, just fitting over the...
It's another situation. I'm not the surgeon here, but I'm just brainstorming here. What you can do is extract most of the teeth without the guide and then leave three teeth, fit the guide, put the pins, and extract the last three teeth.
Yeah, I wouldn't say three, but maybe four or five, just to really have very good stabilization of the guide. So after removing the teeth, then replace the implant guide, put the implants, okay? And then after putting the implants, remove this part and come with the provisional. The provisional will have some extensions.
This is so cool.
Very cool.
Have some extensions that fits on the guide also and the holes for the implants to be captured on the specific and very precise position that we've planned.
So the same expansion, the same occlusion, the same aesthetics,
Yeah, that's the idea.
So I would make sure that the viewers are realizing how important the planning is. Don't depend on just the software to do all the work for you. It's all in the planning. And that's what this is allowing us to do.
Yeah. No, the software, it's here just to help us, you know, just to make it very clear. Okay, so after capturing the provisional, you just go with a burr and take out those extensions, reline the provisional outside the mouth, do whatever you want, finish the provisional, whatever you need to do. But it's meant to be very simple, to be able to do it chair side. And then after relining whatever, then you just go and screw the provisionals in place and adjust whatever
and
you need to adjust.
Then you start praying.
Yeah.
We know that for cases like this, you always have to pray, right, John?
We have science.
I hope it's science.
A little bit of praying. A lot of science.
A little bit. You always need a little extra help.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's the idea. We're going to be bringing with us John Guillermo Manzano, who works with me. He's the manager of the planning center. He's going to be with you guys there with all the devices.
He's also a surgeon.
He's also a surgeon. I think it's going to be very cool.
Do you want to quickly show the lower going into the upper, Francis? Just to emphasize, we got, of course, we always use the idea that we learned from COIS, you know, and you, John, you use the same philosophy here, you know, deprogramming the bite, registering and scanning this new bite. So the CBCT brought us to the upper, and then we brought your bite, and then with the new vertical dimension, with hopefully the deprogrammed CR position, and that's how we wax the lowers against the uppers before even planting the implant. So the sequence is always the same. We have the face. We delete everything that is in the mouth. We do the smile frame guided by the face. We wax the uppers. And then we compare the uppers with the bone. We plan the uppers, implants, etc. Then we take the upper project, bring the new bite, wax the lowers against the uppers. And then now we have the ideal lower with new vertical dimension with the existing tooth position of the lowers. And now we can plan if we're going to do ortho, crown lamping, extractions, you know, grafting, etc. And in this case, as you explained, it's full extraction. So we can bring this ideal pontic development towards the ridge on the lowers, plan the implants the exactly same way, measuring the distance between the head of the implant and the cervical of the teeth, following all the principles that we learned. We had a little bit more space on the lowers, so it was a little bit easier to plan the transition and the emergence profile.
Again, to just make sure it's clear, the bite was deprogrammed to get a passive centric relation registration. But more importantly, it wasn't just programmed. It was dialed into the vertical that we plan on building this new, the new occlusal vertical dimension. So what everyone is seeing is the new occlusal vertical dimension that was generated off the deprogrammer. So we could minimize any arc of closure discrepancies on the computer when we have a virtual bite.
It was very interesting to see exactly what Francis is showing now. And this is very important. Another thing that I learned from you, John, as well. You know, as a technician, if you get maximum intercuspation bite and you open this on the articulator, you can get a nice space, but it's completely different than deprogramming in the mouth and bringing this new scan to the digital articulator. So we actually did both ways, and we can see the difference between just opening virtually with artificial ringe and actually opening the bite in the mouth with an organic movement, you know?
Yes, it's different.
And you can see beautifully on the software the difference. If you show the both lowers, Francis, the discrepancy, how not only the opening is different, but the midline shifts a little bit as you bring the difference between.
Yes.
So it's really very nice to analyze the bite and function in 3D on the computer. It simplifies the process. We can understand exactly the amount of space. We can come back to the mouth and adjust the vertical dimension of the deprogrammer and rescan the bite, not only in CR, but on the adequate restorative
space. Exactly. That's how it was done.
Because it's hard for the dentist to guess on the deprogrammer the exact space to allow space on the back before the upper wax up is done.
That's always the challenge. There's a bit of experience that comes through that, yes. But yes. A lot of it is appreciating the facial direction that this will move toward. And so everybody realizes the way you see it right now, the upper teeth were not made any longer visually, only cervically. So incisally, the position is the same. The lower arch was extended incisally. So we could try to take advantage of slightly opening the vertical at the expense of the lower teeth, not the upper teeth. So the upper teeth could not be used to open the occlusal vertical dimension. And we needed to do that in order to get the teeth to have the proper anterior tooth relationship. Otherwise, she was a little too edge to edge.
Now, Francis, if you go back to the blue model is what we expect, we hope to get after healing. So we were able to kind of predict with the bone that is remaining there, how we believe after the healing, how much shrinkage on the gum we will get because of the shape of the teeth. You're going to move from the upper red model to the upper blue model.
Correct.
And then if you slice, Francis, the anteriors, we can measure overbite, overjet as well. There we go. So we can probably measure. So you can be right at the center of the central. So approximately 3.5 and 3. I think it's not bad.
No, it's going to be great.
Nice inclination of the palatal side of the uppers, probably protecting well the tooth movement. It's not too steep. So it's looking good.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the way this is turning out.
Now, of course, John, I know that you've been doing amazing dentistry for 20, 30, 40 years, you know, without all this, you know, dentists all over the world have been doing great dentistry without technology at all. But for me, as I look at this, I really have to appreciate the experience and the skills of people doing great dentistry without this technology. How much easier it is to make more people to deliver better dentistry, allowing them to visualize things like this and helping people to make better decisions.
Yeah, I think that's so exciting to be able to realize that that's accomplishable with all this technology. The skill level at the chair was enormously different than it is today.
Of course, as we always say, technology doesn't do magic. There's no miracles. Knowledge, science, biology, function, everything is still exactly the same. The human body didn't change. The computers are just evolving to help us see things better. But we're going to see a lot of skills from Dean and you, John. Clinically speaking, the skills are still demanding and we need to be prepared. For me, it's beautiful to brainstorm with these images. I just think we are making better decisions, visualizing better the outcomes. Risk assessment becomes more clear. Decision-making process, it's a little bit improved, I believe.
Yeah, and basically, so we don't confuse the audience, the picture with the leaf gauge on the bottom right, that was only to compare to the deprogramming phase. That was an early bite record to get started. Then the patient was deprogrammed.
The ideal design is completely subtractive. We were able to really design a motivational design and provide a mock-up to John so he could really go through the experience of having the patient understanding how she could possibly look like after the treatment.
Yeah, I think that's very important because these complex cases, it's not easy to many times engage the patient, you know, motivate the patient. Of course, we are talking about a lecture case, but in real life, we need to actually make the patients, convince the patients that that's the way they need to go. It's not a simple procedure. It's not an inexpensive treatment. It's an expensive, demanding commitment. And that's why we always emphasize the emotional link between doctor and patient, presenting the treatment in a different way to get this engagement. So we always emphasize the fact that digitally we can modify the project to generate what we call a motivational project, print this project, and try this in the patient's mouth.
Yeah, and I think what's also really interesting is the mock-up that you see here on the right side of the screen is all done on the outside of the ridge because we didn't do anything yet. And so the teeth look a little bit big. The final result will be all on the inside of the ridge. So it's very exciting to be able to compare to where we'll be in just a few more weeks.
Yeah, the motivational markup, it's not the ideal project. It's an adapted project to overlap whatever is in the mouth.
Exactly.
But it gives us, from a social distance, it gives us gives to the patient a nice perception of what can happen if they invest in this project.
She was in tears when she saw that because I have historical photos for her. She's never really looked like that in her entire life.
You can see in her eyes. Yeah.
Visualize this type of result without this technology. It's such a transformation.
We can see her expressions on her eyes.
Yeah, it was really big.
Beautiful. That's amazing. Francis, amazing job. I was just more an spectator giving my opinions once in a while on the WhatsApp group, on the concierge service, learning from the process. Huge learning experience for me, John, to be interacting with you and listening to you and reading your messages and how you were guiding the whole team. I wish we could plan every single case, all the 500, 600 cases we do per month in the planning center. I wish you could be there with us planning all of them.
It's amazing to see what's in your brain to come out in reality on a screen. It's amazing.
Yeah. We actually need more people on the team, John. If you want to join us, we are more than... You're going to be happy to have you here.
You're looking for a new job, John. We have a spot for you in Madrid.
We'll have to talk about that.
No, but at least a visit, John. I hope you can sure. come soon to visit us and you and Dean, and we can show you around a little bit.
That would be great.
Great.
Super cool. My course participants are coming back to the room here. They were watching from the coffee break the whole session. We already have 1,400 spectators online, at least on the DSD side. So thousands of people. I really want to thank everybody that was watching. I, of course, want to thank my dear brother for doing this amazing work, not only on this case, but every single day, really providing people with this kind of technology and really transforming my dreams into reality. I want to thank you guys, John and Dean, again for the partnership. You know, allowing us to work with you guys is such an honor. And I hope this is just the beginning. I really hope this is just the beginning.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. And Christian, one thing, do you want to mention, you guys are doing a course together here in December. Can you mention just a little bit about that? We're going to post a link to that.
So yes, we have a course and the honor of bringing the DSD course to the COI Center. And this is going to happen December. I don't know if it's almost sold out. That's what I heard. There's still a few spots. It's December 12th to 15th. At the COI Center in Seattle, the full DSD program, the 4 days. And as I heard, we're going to have a surprise for everybody, a special party.
Yes, we will.
All
yes,
right.
We will.
So if you guys don't have any extra comment, I want to thank Kirk again for the technology of transmitting this, you know, and Ben, our super IT expert on live Facebook transmission. I know we're going to do many more of these in the near future.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen, for lending us your time and expertise today. For those of you that are watching, thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed today, do us one huge favor and just hit the share button. Share this with your friends because this is just incredible. And this is only the beginning of amazing things on the horizon. So thank you all for watching. Until we
and
see you next time.
It was a lot of fun also.
Yes.
Very much fun. So
there's no fun, there's no sin.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you all for watching. We'll see you next time on the Best Practice Show.
Bye,
you guys
all.
Have a great rest of your day.
Bye, all.